Praise the Lord. Let's open to Ephesians 3:14 and we'll go for the word right now. Healing is still happening in the house right now. There's healing in the house. There's healing in the house today. If I sing one line of the song, Deb will always sing the next line. Don't you love it? I like it. Because most of the time I don't remember the next line. No, I do. I was kidding. Ephesians. Thank God for covenant people. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 3:14. Are you there? Okay. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able with all the saints to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's good. That's an E320. Yep. Go ahead and have an E320. Amen. Casey Stone taught us that. Have an E320. 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now today I want to tell you how to get miracles to flow. How to get miracles to flow. Miracles start when you touch the parameters of his love. That's how miracles flow. Now, immediately when I say this, we're going to have to address two things. First, we may think we understand the love of God, but I tell you, we know little. We know some things, but there's a whole lot more to know about the love of God. Secondly, we need to know what a parameter is. So first, we know that God is love, do we? Okay, so we have a little knowledge of love. We know who God is, but most of the time, the preaching and the teaching we heard was all about, now you need to love. You need to love your neighbor. You need to love people, which is true. But a lot of times you kind of heard it like that. Yeah, now you need to. Uh-huh. Well, at least for some of us that are a little older, that's the way we were taught. But one of the things that we need to understand is unless you know the love of God, you will not be able to love people truly like he wants you to. The love of God makes the difference, having the love of God, understanding him. Now this we understand this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe, right? We understand that God gave his son, that he loved us that much. We understand that, and that's huge. That's huge. But what we must do is get to the core. We want to get to the core. So let's look to the very core of God. And the way I want to do this, we talked about covenant the last few times we've been together. We talked about covenant, that if you want to understand Hesed, which we're still talking about, that's what we're still on right here. If you're going to understand that, you're going to need to understand covenant. But I'm going to give you an example that will kind of overwhelm you, help you see something about God. So I'm going to read you something about the universe. One of the greatest mysteries of the universe is what makes up the core of galaxies, including our Milky Way. Astronomers have discovered that a swirling black hole sits right in the middle of it, sucking stars into its vortex like a cosmic vacuum cleaner. You're aware of that? No? Yes? This black hole is so dense that its gravitational pull won't even allow light to escape from it. Recently, they learned that this black hole is 27,000 light years from Earth, with a mass that is 4 million times bigger than our sun. The closer the star gets to that mysterious center of the galaxy, the more it's in danger of being drawn into its death. Now, that raises a question about the mystery of God's being for us. What is that core like, and how dangerous is it if you get too close? And now we've grown up knowing that God is a lot of things. He's a lot of things. He is just. But justice is not the core of his being. He is holy. But holiness is not the core of his being. He is mighty. But power is not the essence of who he is. So what is the essence? What is the core of who he is? And we're told by John the Beloved, the closest disciple, that the core of God, God's being, is love. So that middle place, that core in God, he is love. And if that's true, if the core is love, then everything he does, love motivates it. Am I right? Love would motivate everything that God does. So, and including creation. Creation is a love letter to us. Amen. It's the theme of the story that we're in right now. See, all artistry reflects the artist. Am I right? You know that. You could tell by people how their drawings look what's really on the inside. Amen? Yeah, you can. I've watched it over the years. So if God is love, then this world is the eternal love made visible now. So it started out being like heaven. He made Eden. It was perfect. And Eden was like heaven. It had everything you need. It was beautiful, plants, flowers, all the wonderful stuff was there. Are y'all following me so far? Okay. So, and, you know, I know that we take comfort in the fact that, the center of God's being is not a black hole. But it's this beautiful heart that gives. It gives. His heart just brims out with love, spinning out from itself. It's not sucking into itself. We've all experienced beings, human ones, that all they do is suck into themselves. Am I right? But God doesn't. He's always just brimming and throwing out to you. He's not pulling you and bringing you into a dark place. Amen. So, and each of us, we've felt that love spill out on us, have you? You did this morning. I mean, it was coming in waves. Glory to God. The glory of God, the love of God is manifesting on us this morning. When I was 16 years old, I took a trip to Pensacola, Florida. It's the first time I'd ever seen the pretty blue water. Because I was raised in Texas, only been to the Texas coast, which has, you know, the Mississippi Delta throws all the dirt this way. And so we have the brown-looking water. And I was standing out there. My sister was there with me. Standing out there, and we're looking at that beautiful, clear water. And I was fully clothed, standing on the beach, the white sugar sand. Oh, my goodness, when I think about it. When I think about that place. And all of a sudden, this huge wave just comes in and soaks me waist down. It was glorious. We just got wet. And, yeah. I was looking at something so beautiful, then all its power came in and splashed me good. And since then, I've been to the Caribbean. I can't tell you how many times I've been to the Caribbean because I had the hunger to seek after that white sand and blue water. And I mean, remember the Beach Boys song, Aruba, Jamaica? And they name, I've been to everyone but Kokomo's because it's a bar. But I've been to Aruba, Jamaica, the Virgins, Caymans, I've been to all those places. I've been to Cozumel, Mexico 14 times. I love the pretty blue water and the white beach. And I love it when it splashes up on me and gives me its blessing. Amen. Well, then I love to take people. I love to, everybody's going, oh boy, I might get to go. I like to take people and show them what's beautiful. Do y'all like to do that? Let me show you what's beautiful. Let me show you what's beautiful. You know, I want to show you and let you enjoy what I like. So over time, we've taken people to the pretty blue water. And John and Rachel went to Cozumel with us a few years ago. And Rachel walked on water when she saw a barracuda. And it was great. We had a lot of fun, but now they love it. And not everybody loves that. Maybe it's the mountains you want to take people to see, but you know what I'm talking about. And then you're always, let me show you where I've been that is so wonderful, or look at what's wonderful. I was sitting in my jammies last night relaxing, and I got a text from Danny, and she said, are you looking at the moon? And I had seen, Deb and I had been out on the our little shoddy golf cart, not a golf cart, but whatever you call that thing, ATV, thank you. And so we had ridden up, and I said, look, the Schaefers are over having fun with the Lopez's. And so we drove on in. That was before the sun went down. And then she texts me and says, have you seen the moon? So I knew she was seeing it where I was seeing it from. So we went out there and looked, tried to take pictures. Doesn't work good with the phone. Just boo, you know, just the moon just doesn't do good on that. But it was beautiful. So she wanted to tell somebody, you got to see this. That's in us. It's really in teachers and prophets. They're going to tell you what they see. They want to tell you. They're going to come to you, I got to tell you what it is. Amen. But it's in all of us. We want to show people what's good. I've been showing everybody, Debbie and Debbie showed me Moon Pie, the weenie dog. Have y'all seen Moon Pie, the weenie dog? It's so cute. So you're like, have you seen Moon Pie, the weenie dog? And not everyone probably thinks this is cute, sweet, but it's the dogs talking in a kid voice. It's hilarious. And the dog wants coffee, you know. It's just so cute. But you just want to do that. You just want to show people something that'll make them happy. So, well, and they just, you just want them to drink it all in. Well, the universe displays the glory of God. So we have this mysterious, miraculous, majestic universe. And you can, where I live, it's dark enough to see the Milky Way. And I've seen the Milky Way in a lot of ways. We had some friends that live up above Lake Buchanan. And we would go up there with them and eat dinner on their boat. And on the way back, we would lay down in the seats. And because the river up there winds, the Milky Way would just do this. It would just say, and we'd be in awe. They used to have telescopes up there in that area. In the, what's that place called? Canyon of the Eagles. And you could go up there and look at the stars. But you're just in awe of the stars of the universe. Everybody likes, I don't know anyone who looks at the sky and goes, eh. You know, I mean, you're like, wow, look at the stars. Look at the stars. On a clear night in the country, no city lights or pollution, the human eye can see between 2,000 and 3,000 stars. They appear the size of a grain. We use the grain as a standard of, we'll use the grain as a standard of measure. The grain of sand closest to us is our sun. So there's our grain of sand, which is 93 million miles away. The second closest grain, our star, is Proxima Centauri, part of the Alpha Centauri system. It is 4.35 light years away. That doesn't sound too far away until you do the math, because a light year is a measurement of time that takes light to travel in 1 year. Is that right? It's a measure of time. It takes light to travel in 1 year. And since light travels at 186,000 miles per second, or 670 miles per hour, a beam of light can travel from the sun in about 8 minutes. Okay? Now, but to reach, that's between us and the sun, But to reach Proxima Centauri, it takes 4 years. It takes 4 years to get there. Okay, that's how far away it is. So now imagine this. Around our grain, the sun, is a cluster of stars. We call them, it's the Milky Way. As late as the 1920s, we thought the Milky Way was our whole universe. Y'all realize that? Then came the Hubble telescope. You know the Hubble? We actually saw that out at Canyon of the Eagles. We've seen it crossing the sky through one of their telescopes. So it came in 1995, and it's orbiting 375 miles above the Earth and can photograph images billions of miles away. So then we had to revise the calculations of the Milky Way. It's about 100,000 light years across and 10,000 light years wide. That's pretty big. How many stars? 2 to 4 billion. And these are kind of old figures. It may be even updated more now. So if there were grains of sand, if every star was a grain of sand, and we took a large dump truck, it would take a real large dump truck to hold them. That's a lot of stars if they're a grain of sand. As for the universe now, if a train of railroad cars were filled with sand that represented all the stars in the known universe, and if the railroad cars passed by you at the rate of 1 per second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it would take 3 years for all the sand-filled cars to pass you by. That's how many stars can be seen in the universe. I mean, sand, you could pick up sand in your hand and have, we couldn't even number them. As the Bible says, we couldn't. Amen. So all of these stars, those galaxies, the supernovas, all the cosmic wonders throughout the whole universe, God did it. And what is even greater is he did it with a word. He did it with a word. Glory to God. This is your Father. This is your Father who is at the very core. He is love. Now stay with me. Let's walk into this now. You know, David was a man who was overwhelmed by guilt. You know that? He had a time when he stole another man's wife. Then he killed that man. He was overwhelmed so much that he was wasting away. And many people are there right now in the world. They're right there. Instead of being overwhelmed by magnificent God, they're overwhelmed by guilt, anxiety, family, finances, future, COVID, politics, cheating on the election, and on and on and on and on. They're overwhelmed by it. Okay? David was overwhelmed. But then he looked up and saw three shining stars. The graciousness of God, the loving kindness of God, and the compassion of God. All three of these things are hesed. Obligatory love. Graciousness of God, which means he's disposed to show favor. Loving kindness of God, that's hesed itself. It's that obligatory. It's that I've committed myself to you and promised to you that I would do this. And the only way it won't happen to you is if you won't receive it. But David saw it. He received it. He recovered. You know, and he became overwhelmed by love. He became overwhelmed by God. God loves me. I'm going to be all right. I can do this. Listen, the universe does many things for us. It provides, protects, it awes us. But it actually teaches us something. It teaches us to how to see through heaven's eyes. You got to see through heaven's eyes. Here's your homework. Read Psalm 139, 1 through 18. Psalm 139, 1 through 18. What a beautiful thing. This is what David had seen. David was a good student. He's shown us how to see God in the micro and the macro. You can see up close. You can see it all. You could see God. He was looking there. And there's, listen, there's nowhere you can flee to where God and his greatness are not present. He is with you. He's in the midst of everything. Church, when we see our circumstances through heaven's eyes, they're not going to overwhelm us. They're never going to overwhelm us when we leave. What about the song, we're going to see the victory, or our waymaker? They're all talking about that we've already seen the end from the beginning, and whatever comes forth on this earth, we're all right. We win. We can be like the Daniels and the Josephs if we get covered up by something that some kind of political thing or some kind of government that we don't like. We've been through it before. America's been through the world wars, the depression, the crash of the stock market, the 9/11. Pearl Harbor, there's so many things that America's been through, but we made it. Yeah. Some of us here have seen quite a few of those things. We've been alive at that time. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, God's people will make it. Yeah. We'll be safe. You're going to be okay. You just listen to the Lord, because Hesed is, he's ready. He's on the move right now. So, there's no problem in our life so large that it's beyond God's control if you'll do what we said in the offering word. Place yourself under his resourceful strength. Mm-hmm. Now, seeing God at his core will really help us. His purpose is love, and his love has what we started talking about in the beginning, parameters. What is a parameter? Well, if we can touch the parameters of love, miracles are going to break out. This is what we want to do. This is the plan. This is what Holy Spirit told me. If we can touch the parameters, miracles will break out. Okay? So the word parameter has several meanings, and most people mistake it for only boundaries. And that's true. The parameter of a property is the outer edges of it. It's just like the same word of perimeter. Perimeter. Which is boundaries also, but this is more. Parameter means more. And I'm gonna read you the definition. Any factor that defines a system and determines its performance. Is that good? So any factor. A set factor that determines the behavior of a system. Deciding factor, characteristic, aspect, element, limits or guidelines or boundaries, framework, criterion, constant. Now, Two good examples, so we can just get off perimeter, would be temperature and pressure. Those are parameters for certain things. Temperature and pressure, right? So what factor defines God's system of love? Are you walking with me? Yes. I say it like that because I'm trying to get you to wrap your thinking around it. Love is at the core. The creation itself reveals his intentions. What factors or parameters will help us see how this love is then? That's what we're looking for. Well, number one is love himself is a factor. This is not just what he does or how he feels. He is love. His system works based on who he is. He is the I am. I am love. That's what he would say. He is the all-sufficient one. We'll talk more about that in the future. But number two, so you have love himself as the number one parameter. Number two is joy. And the Holy Spirit went right there with Jesse this morning. Joy is the next factor. The artistry, remember, reveals the artist. You know what Jesus does most of the time? The people that have been to heaven say Jesus does this the most of the time. He laughs. Yeah. Amen. So, look at creation now. Just stop and look at creation just a minute. I'm trying to overwhelm you with love himself. Look at creation. It brings joy. We're delighted. Yeah. How do you feel about babies? See? Everybody. How about puppies? Uh-huh. What about the sunset? Yeah. How about flowers and trees? Mm-hmm. How about birds? I like the cardinals. So pretty, and the painted buntings. Praise the Lord. Yeah. See, everybody's like, yeah. Mountains. Pretty blue water. See, creation blesses you. It brings you joy. It does. I hear Ronnie talk about her kitty cat. I hear joy when she talks about that little cat. I hear joy coming out of her. And say, and Joey did this, and Joey did that. It's just like, and the baby cooed today. And, you know, I mean, that's how we are. It brings us something that's coming from the inside. Amen. People love lakes. That's why you live here. The moon and the stars are awesome. And then add sharing everything we just said, add that to sharing it with someone you love. That's good, isn't it? So you just doubled up there. That's joy. Isn't that good? Number three is unity. Unity is a factor. It's one of the parameters. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in such unity. I want you to listen to Matthew 3:16. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him and settling on him. So Holy Spirit came on him. Okay. And a voice from heaven said, here's Father. So here they are, all three together. This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Now, the Spirit led, the Son followed, both in step with the choreography of the Father. They all three just flowed together. See that? So wherever the triune God goes, these three virtues accompany him. Love, joy, and unity. These are the parameters of what we're looking for today. That's the core. This is the core of God. These are his perimeters. Love, joy, and unity. They're the factors that determine his performance. So what we see is that he's not sitting on a throne judging everybody, but you know, slapping man around, because that's not at his core. He's not sitting on a throne far off and being, I'm too holy to be touched. No, that isn't God. God is powerful, but his power is harnessed to operate through love, joy, and unity. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have great love for one another. So great is their joy in each other. They are in such unity. And I submit to you that they are dancing. And I submit to you that all of the heavenly culture is like a waltz. It's lively, it's exhilarating, and it's a sense of being swept away. You know, when you've danced the waltz, you're just like, shh. Even when you do it country style. Praise the Lord. They're in step with music, with the music, and they're in step with each other perfectly. They move as one. And they so enjoyed that waltz that they took such joy in one another. They were in such unity. It was so bountiful that they couldn't keep it to themselves. So the three of them counseled together as to know how they could expand the dance. And then they said, let us make man in our image. And they expanded the dance. Let us make a partnership that lives like us, that looks like us, that loves like us, that dances like us. Let's extend the family. Let's expand the culture. God is love. He performs from love, he performs from joy, and he performs from unity. These are the parameters that I'm talking about. They're the parameters that make his system of power, justice, and holiness work. Everything is based first on this love It's not burst on that he's mad. Mm-hmm. It's not what it is. Everything's about love first. Everything. Yes. The love of God. Oh, and we just barely tipped the iceberg on that. We just barely know this, but we're going to know. And one of the things that you're going to sense is as the Holy Spirit begins to move in the glory realm with us, you're going to sense that love in a way like you never have before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, we need to know where he's coming from. We need to have a working knowledge. Is that the scripture I read in the beginning? We need to have a working knowledge of his love. And then we're going to experience an E320. This is when you get a working knowledge of his love, you will experience exceeding abundantly above all you can think or ask. Things are going to start happening to you that are amazing. Things are going to start happening to people when you pray for them that are amazing. When you get love in its place. When you get the core in its place. When you get who he is in his place, in your heart and in your thinking, you're going to start seeing things in a different way. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that, Lord. We're going to experience that. Love himself, joy and unity are exactly what we need to get a working knowledge of today. We need to have a working knowledge of it. In other words, we don't just need to know how to sit on the airplane. You got to know how to fly the airplane. So you're going to work with love. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for giving us an understanding. An understanding of you yourself. Love himself. Love himself. That makes us understand Corinthians 13 so much better. Love is kind. Well, God is kind. Thank you for that, Lord, that we can understand those truths even in a new way. That we can understand 1 John 4 that says that perfect love casts out fear. Hey, let's go over there as we close here. Let's go over there real quick. This has been on my heart for days, so I want to read it. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John 4. So, you know, he's been talking about love. Remember, this is the apostle of love, John the Beloved, as he called himself. Glory to God. Now, we'll just start at 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God already has this love to us, okay? And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. This is not judgment day. Y'all got it up here? See, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Not judgment day. The day of judgment is the day when the accuser tries to mess with you and you have to make the right choice. Okay? Okay, you get that? See that? Okay. So, then the next says, there is no fear in love. There's absolutely no fear in God. His core, his parameter, there is no fear. There's no fear in you. When you got born again, fear left you. That fear that you sense is coming from the outside. And it comes with an influence. And you've got to get rid of it, and you have all authority to get rid of it. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Boy, have you sensed? That's that influence. It's tormenting you. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. This is not talking about you. You don't love people good enough, and so you're fearful. This is talking about that you don't yet have the total revelation or working knowledge of love himself this core, which now we have it further because we understand the parameters, that it's about He Himself, that He is at the core love, He is at the core joy, He is at the core unity. And this makes fear fade. And a fear-free life is a failure-free life. Amen. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. There is no fear in love. And when you know that the God of the universe is your Father and that He has hesed toward you, He's committed to you, He cannot lie. Why can't He lie? Because whatever He says happens. So if He says, let's roll over into Monday, we'll roll over into Monday right now. He can't lie. There's no way it can happen. It's not just a moral thing. He just can't do it. Glory to God. And then He swore by His own self. Well, who is His own self? Love, joy, and unity? And you're going to swear by unity? There must be something going on there. Amen. Amen. We can't lose, Jess. Can't lose, Larry. We can't lose. Well, it sure feels like it. That's because it feels like it. And so you have to get past that. So everything that comes up against you, tries to come up against you, it may form, but it won't succeed. Love is at the core. And you can get to the place where love is at your core. Love is at your core. You don't want to fight back or defend or make excuses. You start knowing how to behave. I had, was talking to the group back here, and I said, we want to watch out what we're thinking as we're coming into church and not just trading conspiracy theories and all that because of the assignment on this church. Because of the assignment here, we need to walk in the Spirit even as we come in. Well, Chris and I were talking about some things. It wasn't any conspiracy thing. We're just talking about the vaccine, which I'm sure there are some conspiracy theories, but we weren't talking about that. And we talked about finances. And so I mentioned back here that we want to make sure we knew what we were talking about. So I thought, he kind of gave me a look while I was in there, and I thought, I better track him down and make sure he's all right, you know. That's what you do. And I said, I wasn't talking about our conversation. And he said, that's okay. If you were, I was willing to take the correction. Amen. Now that's love at the core. That is. That's just love at the core. That's not, well, I thought you were. And then you go home. I'm going to tell my wife just what I think about that, Pastor. She thinks she can bring me correction. You're not the boss of me. You know. Whew, glory to God. But I appreciated it because he thought, if you don't even want to discuss those things, we're just truths that we were saying. It wasn't, you know, someone's underground and they're going to come forth and blah, 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 you know, all that. But which I hope some of those things that people spread around was true. But we're not going there right now because we're trying to keep our thoughts on the third heaven right now. And find out there are some truths out there about the vaccine that you need to know. You need to go look for it. There are. There's some truths about what you could take to build your immune system. I'll tell you a couple of things. I think I'm going to preach on this Wednesday night. Probably shouldn't tell so I can keep the crowd, but one of the things it'll help your immune system is to get a good night's sleep. It will. You need to get some sleep. You need to get out of worry and fear. Amen. And then, of course, what y'all don't want to talk about, the eating and the drinking and all that other stuff, which, and exercise. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us all. But grace, grace to us all, because the grace will give you the ability to do it. Amen. But anyway, those things would help us. Amen.